Good morning, everyone. We're going to get started. Thank you all for coming today. We're thrilled to have the county executive with us today. And we're going to have Vito Ciccioli, a former top aide to four Syracuse mayors, currently a board member and a community representative for Syracuse 2020, introduce the county executive.
Good morning, all of you. And let me just say that former city official and Syracuse 2020 executive director, great pleasure to introduce Joni Mahoney. I have to make a disclosure, though, so that it doesn't look like I'm making a political announcement for her well-being. And I'm conflicted, obviously. We had a house on Beverly Road when first got married, and Joni Mahoney lived on Crossett right around the corner and right across from up around Daga Park. And needed babysitting services. So I needed babysitting services. You didn't need it. I needed it. And so as a consequence, we got out, there was a neighborhood family that provided that service, and I took advantage of it. And today I'm guilty because I know I didn't pay her enough money. I can assure you. So that's the conflict. But really, there was a neighborhood roots. She did go to Corcoran High School. She went to SU Law and also SU undergraduate. And I knew her not only when she was growing up and we had kids, but when she was a common counselor at large in the city of Syracuse, we had a number of issues that we had to deal with. And one, whether it was the Valley Vista Apartments and some of the residents had some issues down there in the valley, or whether it was in the heat of the negotiations regarding Destiny USA, Joni was always there and always level-headed in all our conversations, and for which, by the way, I'll tell you, I'm grateful. It's not always the case, as everybody knows. But also, her little blurb on her biography, if you went online to look at it, was that she works to create a greener, more sustainable community. And I got to tell you that, let me explain to you what that really means. We were involved in negotiations on Midland Avenue at the time I was with the city regarding a sewage treatment plant. And it was very contentious. Contentious because of that facility, a lot of concerns on the neighborhood, on its impact it would have. And it sort of set the stage for a great debate between whether we should actually store and delay water that would go to the sewage treatment plant, the big one down on Adega Lake, or whether or not we should, you know, create these sewage treatment plants. And it was a very contentious issue. It set the stage for the Save the Rain program, in my opinion. In many ways, it set a bar that needed to be raised. And Joni picked up through the Save the Rain project a very simple concept, you know, delay the rain, defer it, and delay it so that it could be treated and as a consequence mitigate the impact that it would have, these sewage treatment plants would have in many neighborhoods. It was one of the things that I think drove it, and it's certainly a model for many, many communities today. Something to keep in mind going forward, how a county can really benefit our community regarding environment. The other thing I want to really talk about a little quickly is Say Yes to Education. Most people think, yeah, it's a school district initiative, City of Syracuse, Say Yes to Education Foundation. There's a critical piece that was early on supported by the county that you should all remember going forward, and that was the obvious effort regarding the issues surrounding our children and their families, and the fact that the county has significant resources that it manages, that they focused on those school children in the city. It's a critical element. Many of us at 2020 always thought that this was certainly as important as a lot of the educational dogmas and ideology that you hear regarding transforming educational systems, whether it's vouchers or some other innovative device. Any rate, it's important to talk about children and family services, and they get it. They've gotten it early, and they continue to get it. Not only that, they've sustained that effort with respect to the Early Childhood Alliance. 2020 had recognized along with an OCL study, as a matter of fact, and many of you may have remembered, regarding the importance of early childhood education. zero to five is critically important, and they are an integral part of that. In fact, their former Commissioner of Social Services co-chairs that committee, David Zudkowy. Lastly, she's been able to, on a bipartisan basis, keep good relations with the state. Let me just say that the state is a huge source of resources. It's important to keep good relations. Over 75% of school districts' money comes from the state of New York. It does not come from local property taxpayers. The city does devote most of its property tax to that, but the overwhelming amount of money necessary to support city school district comes from the state of New York. In the city itself, there are three major revenue sources. One is property taxes. It's about a third. The other is sales tax, which, by the way, through a negotiated transaction that Joni negotiated with Stephanie Miner, that represents a very significant source of money for the city. And the third is AIM funding, or transfer payments directly from the state of New York. You've got to keep good relationships because you're basically a mendicant of the state of New York under the current way we finance local governments. It's important to keep that relationship. Finally, on consensus, I want to talk about consensus because 2020 was driven by this because we felt it was important as a better way to see the issues that we address this issue regarding governance. And Joni's going to certainly comment on those things today. And I will just say that one of the things we talk about, a lot of the conversation here is about money. What you really need to focus on is on value. And we sit in a building that represents the kind of value that a robust, better funded, better source of revenue can produce, and that's this facility. The city of Syracuse had a zoo. It was almost always in the headlines regarding Department of Agriculture fining the city for the bear cage. It is a clear example where a county, and actually they spend a little more money, by the way, than the city was spending, can produce a facility of increased value as a consequence of their more robust base of financing and a vision that was superior to what was being then undertaken by the city. So it's important to keep that in mind. And finally, let me wrap up by saying, there's four or five legs to a table that require that they be balanced so that you have a good community. One of those is the economy, another is the social issues, another is environmental issues, another issue is, certainly political issues, but also cultural issues. And as a consequence, right now in Syracuse, what we all talk about and have talked about since back in 1996 when we had a Middlebrook conference is the imbalance caused by our economy in our place where we live. And Joni's going to talk about a community that's 100 out of 100 and what we're going to do to try to change that. So I'm going to just now shut up and get out of the way. And yeah, from me? No. who asked that question? I'm not here. All right, that's it. Sorry.
Thanks, Vito. Thank you. Thank you. My work here is done. Thank you very much. I thought you paid me fairly, but I'm going to go get my campaign disclosure form and register that as a gift, okay? Thank you. Thank you very much for that introduction. It is kind of hard to listen to, especially sitting at the table there with the people who make it happen. So I do need to share the praise, especially for the work the county does in the early childhood arena and in the school district with the deputy county executive, Ann Rooney. I really lucked out, and I say it much to Ann's chagrin whenever this topic comes up, but I really lucked out when Ann agreed to come over to county government and bring that expertise. And she has really changed the way the county interacts with the school district. It's profound. We have so many people now in the city school district when there were none when we got here, because Ann and I both shared that belief and had the conversation before we had the opportunity to come here about investing in kids being a better way than waiting until we let kids fail and then trying to make things better at the end. Not only, I think Ann would share the same not only because it's the right thing to do, and we would do it because it's the right thing to do, but for the people who need more than that, it just makes economic sense. The numbers don't lie, and the money that we can spend early is money you can keep in your pocket later because we don't have to take taxes for all the social services that come with our failure to do that. So Anne is over there with three other county employees, unless you just started with us. No. Welcome, and thank you to all of them. So I gave my State of the County address recently, and I hope some of you were able to hear it, but I was kind of surprised because of the feedback I got about things that I talked about that I really have taken for granted that people already know. And so if you would bear with me, I was going to touch on a couple of the things that I talked about at the State of the County and then try to leave time for questions about what I'm talking about, but about whatever you want to talk about. There's been a lot in the news, and I'm open to questions on any topic. I started out with an overview of the financial health, and I know I have come to TMR every year and given you that update, but things are pretty much on this same track. We continue to try to make government a little bit smaller, a little bit less expensive, and now that we're in our 10th year, I can tell you we started this with 4,200 county employees, and we now have just over 3,000 county employees. We are getting smaller. We're trying to we don't replace one for one, and we try to make our government as efficient and nimble as possible. And there is a county, Ted Fox is here, the head of the zoo. If you don't know Ted, he does a tremendous job. But I'm looking if there are other county employees here. But Ted, you're at the wrong table. That's the kind of you trying to lay low? So we are continuing to make government smaller. We do, again, enjoy a AAA rating from Fitch's. And one of the things I'm most proud of is in the language that Fitch used in grading our bonds was that we don't kick the can down the road. We, despite a difficult economy, have invested in our infrastructure. And with all the conversation that's gone on nationally and the debate about who's going to pay for it, in Onondaga County, your roads, your sewers, your water, we have maintained those things because I was given a good set of circumstances from Nick Pirro and John Mulroy, who did the same before me, and we really have kept that up. And I know consensus is part of this conversation, but people don't know which ones are your county roads, which ones are your city or town or village. We know that because we field a lot of calls about plowing, and I went out to the DOT garages after the most recent blizzard, and I said not one of those calls was about a county road. So I give a lot of credit to the workforce in the county for keeping up. And the tax rate is $5.07 per thousand. So if you own a $100,000 house, your taxes are $507. And I gave a quick overview of what that $507 buys you. We always hear that we pay the highest property taxes of anywhere in the country, and that's whether it's percent of the value in your house or even raw dollars. But 507 doesn't sound like that much, so how can it possibly be that we pay these high property taxes? It's because the county's portion of your tax bill is a fraction of your whole tax bill. The over 50% of the average property tax bill in the county is the school district, but you also have your the school districts. The suburban school districts are in there too. But you also have city, town, village. You have fire district. If you live out in the suburbs, you pay for your libraries. And so when it all adds up, we have massive property tax bills. However, 507 of those dollars are for your county government. That's what I have some influence over. And that kind of prompted a question, and maybe now's the right time to just give you a couple sentences on that conversation we had recently about the amendment to the Affordable Care Act that was called the Collins Amendment for the Congress member who lives out in the Buffalo area, who attached it. Other people referred to it as the Buffalo Bribe. I don't know how you know it, but but I will tell you, this is a microcosm of the things that are most annoying about the job that we have. And it is, all of you are busy, and you are the exception, really. The fact that you come out and you listen, you know, to people in the community and educate yourself, a lot of people just simply don't have the time. And so they rely on those of us that do these jobs on a full-time basis to give you good information. But I saw a press release put out in Onondaga County that said that that amendment would save Onondaga County taxpayers $108 million. And my first reaction is like, no one believes that, right? But I suppose maybe they do. But, you know, why would that save us $108 million? Is anyone reducing the cost of anything? Or are we just shifting the dollars, right? We're all New York State taxpayers, and if we give the $108 million bill to the state and all the other counties do the same thing, where's the state going to get the money? Unless they're cutting costs. And when you talk about cutting costs at that level, you're talking about the health care of the people who live in our community being affected, and you're talking about the jobs that our residents enjoy at some of our biggest employers, you know, Upstate Medical University, St. Joe's, Krause. So the oversimplification that people give and the purposefully misleading and the taking advantage of the fact that people are busy in their lives. But when I see something like a press release that says, if we do this, Onondaga County will save $108 million, you know, I would encourage you to read more than one of one of those kinds of documents to get the full picture. But in New York State, and I'm in my 10th year, and I've been one of the people that's talked about state mandates being the problem, and that's part of this conversation. It is true. The levy in the county is $149 million. Total amount of property tax paid by everybody in Onondaga County is $139 million, $140 million. It used to be $180. It's $140 million today. Medicaid bill to New York State is about $100 million. So it is true that if we didn't have to participate in paying for Medicaid, that we could do away with a big chunk of our property tax bill. However, and I said I'm in my 10th year, and I did not know this until this year, when the state made the agreement with the counties to share Medicaid, it came alongside the permission the state gave us to collect sales tax. So it isn't true, or it's not the whole story when we say, you know, New York's one of only two states that makes their counties pay for Medicaid, and that's why our property taxes are so high. It is true that we share in the cost of that Medicaid, but we also got the ability to collect sales tax. And we collect a lot more sales tax in this county than we pay in Medicaid. So my guess is if something like that amendment ever went through, the state would just take some of the sales tax because that was the agreement and that's where they'll get the money to do it. And so if the state takes our sales tax, I still need your property tax to balance our budget. So I'm sure I'm oversimplifying it for this audience, but I won't ask for a show of hands of how many people believe when they see a press release saying this one thing that no one thought of is going to save us $108 million overnight. The other thing that I think I take for granted that people know, and I don't know why I do that, because there isn't, it's not just intuitive. If no one tells you how things work with some of these programs, then you just would never know. So in Onondaga County, we have two industrial development agencies. We have a city agency and a county agency. And I have said that I do philosophically agree with people who say that maybe we shouldn't be in the economic development business at all, that the county dollars should not go to private entities to spur development. In theory, I think that is certainly a worthwhile goal. But in practice, all the other states are doing that, and the counties around us are doing that. And so if we say we're not going to do that, then our jobs are going to go to where they are doing that, especially publicly traded companies that have a fiduciary duty to maximize the profits of their shareholders. They're not going to stay where it's more expensive to do business. So we have to find the right balance between the investments and not, you know, giving public money to private entities where it's not going to return that investment in the form of a job so that our kids can stay in this community. So we have these two IDAs. In the city, and I know Vito knows a lot more about this than anybody, we refer to it as SIDA, the Syracuse Industrial Development Agency. Every one of the SIDA board members is appointed by the mayor of the city of Syracuse. And when they do deals, they can do economic development deals inside the city. And when they do those deals, they can give developers a break on sales tax. So if somebody wants to buy construction material to build a new building or rehab something, they can tell the developer you don't have to pay sales tax. The city can give that benefit, even though those are county and state sales tax dollars also. They don't have to ask the permission of the other governments. They can give sales tax. They give mortgage recording tax. So the fees that we pay when we buy a house to the mortgage recording, they can waive those. And they can give pilots a payment in lieu of taxes. They're not writing checks to developers. Nobody's giving actual cash to developers through the IDA. They are giving the mortgage recording and the sales tax and then the pilots. And the P in pilot is payment. And I think people have the impression that when someone gets a pilot, that means they don't have to pay property tax. That is not the case. And it's certainly not the case most of the time. So when you buy a piece, if you're a developer and you buy a piece of land in the city where there's a parking lot and it's assessed and you pay property taxes on that, if you sell that to someone who wants to put a hotel up there, when the hotel is built, the property is worth a lot more money and therefore the property tax bill will be a lot higher. The numbers don't always work to spur the development on its own, and that's where the IDA comes in and says, we can keep the property tax at the level that it was when you got here for a longer time. So when you get your hotel built and you get your business running and you start generating revenue, then your property tax will go up to catch up to that. So these pilots are usually 10, 15, 20-year agreements. Vito, you may correct me. Okay, so there is a payment, and that payment looks like property tax because the law requires that payment to be split the same way property taxes are. So the city gets a share, the county gets a share. So the city IDA can make these agreements, but that pilot payment has to be shared with Onondaga County. And because all of those members of the SIDA board are appointed by the mayor, pilots in the city go to the city council for approval. It's different in Onondaga County in a few key ways. The first is, in the county, all of the IDA members, and we call it OSIDA, Onondaga County IDA, all of them are appointed by the chairman of the county legislature. Which I didn't know either, but I don't have any appointments on the OSIDA board, and I do not negotiate the economic development deals that OSIDA does. I typically agree with them, but sometimes I don't, and I have written to the OSIDA board at least once recently where they were considering changing their policy on apartment complexes out in the suburbs, and these IDAs are supposed to be creating jobs. So there are some things that we shouldn't be doing these kinds of deals with. And when you put an apartment complex further away, you're filling it with people that are going to need to go to the schools in that area, and your property tax break is giving them a break on the school taxes. So it's really a difficult thing to do to a community to say, we're going to let a developer build a big apartment complex out here, and then we're going to give them a break on their property taxes because the suburban school districts have to then pick that up. So in the county, the IDA can do economic development deals anywhere in the county. And they have historically done them outside the city simply because the city has had its own IDA. And that changed with the county IDA doing the core development deal. And they can, because the city's in the county, like I like to say, every day. But I think what the public was left with was the impression that that meant the county gets all the resources because the county did the deal. But that is one of the ways I think the people with an agenda take advantage of people not really understanding how all this works. But the rules are exactly the same for OSIDA as they are CIDA. And when you make a deal with OSIDA, they have to share the proceeds of that with the municipality. So the city, had the city done a pilot the same as the county did a pilot, the proceeds are exactly the same for the separate entities. And because the members are appointed by the chairman of the legislature, pilots in the county don't go to the legislature for a vote. So once OSIDA makes a deal, that's the deal. I do not have the ability to veto that deal, and it's a separate entity, a separate legal authority. But I think, you know, people say, well, you know, why does the city council have to vote, and why didn't the county legislature vote? It's because in the city, the mayor appoints. In the county, it's the legislature that appoints. So there have been a couple exceptions. If we don't share those proceeds the way we are required to by law, if we don't share them that way, then we do have to get a separate vote of the other governments that are affected. And that happened at Township 5, the new development out in Camillus where the movie tavern is. When that deal was done, there was an agreement made that some of the payment would go back into the project for infrastructure. Sound familiar? Yeah. So because that payment was being diverted from the municipalities, then everybody who's affected has to vote. So that means including the West Tennessee School District. So the reason for it was because it varied from the typical. So when the core deal happened, there were letters to the editor and there were elected officials that were saying, you know, you have the county, you have respectfully asked suburban school districts for a vote on things, but you didn't ask the city school district for a vote on things. And 99.9% of the time, OSIDA doesn't ask school districts for permission to do anything because the deals usually get split proportionately. So I just thought when you see these things and hear these things, there's a little bit of information. There were people who came before me who wrote all these rules. They're smarter than I am, and they actually make sense. So I wouldn't let the alarm and the fear and the rhetoric get to you until you kind of scratch the surface a little bit and learn how some of these things are put together. But it does beg the question about why we have two, right? We don't need to. I proposed a long time ago, and I'm willing to do the work, one IDA. It's a proposal also that consensus has made. I think the mayor should appoint members to an IDA, and the legislature chairman should appoint members to the IDA. We should have one IDA, and it should be able to do deals countywide, including in the city of Syracuse. And, you know, if consensus happens, I think that is a big, important one that we'll see. And then sort on that topic, just briefly, they make the decisions about what deals to do on this but-for test. So would, I told you that property, you know, the vacant lot with the hotel now being built, sometimes that doesn't make sense just with pencil on paper because there's a brownfield or there's some additional costs, cleaning or, you know, subsurface. But as a public, we want a development here, so we will invest a little bit to make it happen, even though the developer is saying it doesn't make sense on paper unless we get a little bit of help. That but for, would this project happen but for the public help? That's the test for these IDAs. And we've seen a couple. And I know a lot of people here come from the east side, but the Marshall Street project, I mean, that is some of the most valuable land in Onondaga County. And a developer that can get their hands on Marshall Street does not need any investment from public dollars. So we were opposed to that one. But when you're opposed to one and not another, but if, you know, that... If you pay attention to the details, encouraging a development on a brownfield where there's big environmental costs to cleaning it compared to a development in a place that collects outrageous rents. And I'm saying that as the mother of a senior at Syracuse University. I cannot believe the money they're getting in rents up there. So I'm in the wrong business. Okay, so that's our direct economic development stuff. And then I want to just talk briefly about why we do deals that spin off indirect economic benefit to us. The amphitheater is a good example of that. The legislature, forever before I got here, every time they've had the opportunity to vote on off-track betting or casinos, they have said no. They don't want, the county legislature has not want to be in the gambling business, and that is their job and their prerogative. So the state was negotiating with the Oneidas on the Turning Stone, and they came to a settlement that included the state getting a portion of the revenues that are generated at the Turning Stone. And Onondaga County has opted into an exclusivity zone. So we're respecting the decision of the legislature to not be in the gambling business, and we have officially said we won't have a casino in Onondaga County, and in exchange, we get a share of the proceeds that are generated at the Turning Stone. It's the best of both worlds. I was quoted yesterday in the paper saying on this topic. And that number, we conservatively estimated, would generate $2.5 million a year. That's new revenue for Onondaga County. And we have 2 full years of that agreement. The first year was $2.8 million. The second year was $3.1 million. And we have estimated $2.5 million, and we're relying on $2.5 million. And we went backwards and said, what could we do with $2.5 million? We could reduce your levy. And if we did that, the average home in Onondaga County would see about a $9 savings. And that is, I mean, if it's you or me, I would imagine you would prefer to have the $9. So I'm not poo-pooing the $9, but we did look at what could we do to invest that? What are our opportunities to invest that? And can we get a better rate of return than that $9? So a $2.5 million payment is the payment that would allow Onondaga County to borrow $50 million. That's the dollar amount that we need every year to pay off the bond. So without taking any more property tax dollars or sales tax dollars, we take the money that we get from the Turning Stone and we service the bond that we sold to build the amphitheater. And the amphitheater then, a $50 million construction project, put a lot of people to work. And economists say that that money circulates 5 times in the economy. So in and of itself, the construction project was very valuable to our local economy. And then in addition to that, we have a facility out there right now where we sold 200,000 tickets last year. And 60% of the tickets were sold to people who live outside Onondaga County. And the average party that came spent $183. David Holder said from Visit Syracuse that the occupancy rate in our hotels spiked on nights that we had concerts, and it was about an average of an 11% spike. And those room occupancy taxes, I created a dedicated funding stream for the arts in our community that's funded with the room occupancy tax. So when the room occupancy tax goes up, the symphony gets a little more money. You're nodding, but you told me I am not arts and cultural. I am the community's attic. So no matter what happens to the money, Greg Tripoli's getting some money from somewhere because he's taking care of all of our stuff. Our china's in the attic, right? But there is benefit to that hotel tax going up. And just so you see, we do think some of these things, we do think some of these things through. But that $9 that I did not reduce the levy per person, $9, that bought that $50 million construction project, but it also bought that economy, the restaurant owners. I know I saw one news report of a restaurant owner downtown who was really surprised. He had to hire more people, put them on, because on nights that there were concerts, there was a lot of traffic. He didn't count on it because he was thinking the amphitheater's a long ways away, but he's next to this shuttle at Centro. So his business benefited from that. So all of these small businesses, you're going to see a lot more people benefiting out in Solvay when we get done with that infrastructure project this year. All of those businesses being able to, you know, put a few more hours for people, their paychecks get a little bigger, they spend them in the community. We have a more diverse economy than we used to have when we relied on some of the big manufacturers. This isn't the thing that's going to save our economy, but it's a big, important piece of it. And tourism is becoming a big, important piece of our economy. And we want to make sure that we're focusing on all the sectors in our economy. And then the icing on the cake is, I don't know how many of you made your way out to the amphitheater, but we have this beautiful facility on this newly cleaned and reclaimed lakefront. And you can enjoy a concert out there on a summer night, knowing this engine is at work. And we have no other dollars in there. We did not make our parks budget any bigger because we had a new park. That's a brand new park. But the parks department is taking care of that park within the same budget that they had last year. And we signed contracts with a promoter and a parking vendor and a food concessions vendor because the county's not in the concert business. We just built the engine. And people who are experts in their fields are doing and taking the risk. So if we do have a concert that gets rained out, I'm not calling Dave Matthews and I'm not paying Dave Matthews. Somebody else is, but we just made it possible them for here in Onondaga County. So that's why I'm supportive, too, of the investment the state is making in the fair. There's a lot of construction work, electricians, plumbers, carpenters. There's a lot of people that are being put to work. And if that can become more of a robust engine to draw people to town to spend their money, it's why I'm supporting the Film Hub, and I'm happy to answer questions about what's going on there. And then I just want to touch on two more things. I'm going on longer than I planned, but Vito talked about the concentration of poverty, and it is not the most poverty of any community in the United States. It's the most concentrated poverty, and it's because we live in a very segregated community. And I think in a lot of ways worse today than it was 30 years ago when I went to Corcoran High School. It is dramatically different for people of color in Onondaga County. And one of the places that I think it was pretty glaring was inside county government. And so we have spent a lot of time and effort methodically knocking down the barriers. And I have had a lot of help, and I know Linda's here, and Linda's been very helpful. Linda Irvin, Dwayne Owens is our new personnel commissioner. A lot of people have put a lot of work into doing things like reducing the bonding requirements. We go out and talk to minority-owned businesses and say, why aren't you doing business in the county? And when they give us a reason that we can solve, then we solve that. We are doing pre-bids that are more convenient. You know, simple things like when a small business owner, and a lot of our minority businesses are small businesses, but when you say, well, there's a pre-bid meeting at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning, turns out they're all at work. You know, they're not these big developers that have a person that can just run over and do the pre-bid meeting. So now we do them at the convenience of the developers. We've done a lot of outreach. We're actually recruiting on college campuses for employees. We changed the language in our request for proposals. We require a 30% minority women business component to our projects. And it's not just supplies, which was the way a lot of people used to get around it. They would put a minority person, not even a very big business, in between where you wanted to get the stuff from and the county. And if we ran it through that person, it counted as a minority business. We now count employees as minority businesses. And I don't know if you heard me say this before, but the State Department of Labor, hi Juanita, stopped into the amphitheater a couple times in a surprise way, which they are known to do. And I think they thought we had a heads up because they were really surprised by the people of color and the women that were, you know, hammers and nails and stringing the wire. And we had a lot of different faces working on that project, and I'm very proud of it. And last year, we as a county spent $13.9 million doing business with minority and women-owned businesses. So we're trying to create a more level playing field and create opportunities so that people have options. And it's one of the ways that we're going after this segregation and concentration of poverty is trying to help people knock down the barriers to opportunity. And with consensus, first of all, I want to thank all the volunteers. I cannot imagine the time and effort that has gone into that report. And I said we should have hired Vito. He is the local expert when it comes to on-the-job training as well as education. So my hat's off to the volunteers at Consensus and to John DeFrancisco, who brought the $250,000 grant from New York State that we used, that Consensus used to hire their consultant. 3 years of meetings, and I do not think that the ink was dry before we got all of the same old, dead on arrival, and the end of black power as we know it, right? And the world will come to an end, and just pack up and leave. It's Armageddon. We can't possibly do anything like this, right? But I have seen that same rhetoric. I can't believe how long I've been doing this job, because I see the cycles, and people who have lived in this community know that we talked about combining purchasing between the city and county for decades. I was on the city council. The county put money in their budget. They were going to take on purchasing. The city council voted against it. We could not possibly give up control of something so crucial as purchasing to this big bad county. They're not going to take care of us. We're going to be the poor stepchildren. We could never get purchasing done. My dad was on the council in the 70s. He voted on it. So we talked forever about combining purchasing. And Stephanie Miner and I came together in 2011, and the county took over the purchasing for the city of Syracuse, and no one even noticed, right? And I said, the city still gets its pencils. And what's happened since then is the city school district asked if we would do purchasing for them as well. So we now do all the purchasing for the city school district. We do all the purchasing for Otsego County, and we're putting the final touches on our agreement to do all the purchasing for Oswego County. And we do some level of purchasing for 57 municipalities. And it was just one of those things that was met with the same response that Consensus has been met with. So I have hope. I said it might not happen instantly, but we have seen this movie before, and the sky did not fall. The other one was water. Water was just too important, and you could not give up control of water. Well, we had the Onondaga County Water Authority, which is the retail water. You buy your water from, they buy their water from the Metropolitan Water Board, which is the wholesale water that Onondaga County has run, the big pipes that come from Lake Ontario to the Metropolitan Water Board. We sell it to Aqua. January 1st, Onondaga County got out of that business and ceded control to Aqua. So it's not that we're trying to take control of the world. We gave control of water to Aqua, and I said, no one noticed, right? And the next morning when you turned on your showers and your coffee pots, the water worked, right? So I'm hoping that if we see this rhetoric and then we do it and it's fine, and then we see this rhetoric and we do it and it's fine, that maybe we'll stop being quite so alarmed by some of the rhetoric that is meeting the consensus group. And I have this sneaking suspicion that people know that you maybe aren't falling for the rhetoric, because what the opposition to right now is to a referendum. Right, there's an effort to get a public referendum, and people are spending a lot of time and effort preventing you from having a say. And I said, why would they do that? If this is such a horrible idea and the sky will fall, don't you trust the voters to see that and just vote no? But the opposition is not to the metropolitan government. The opposition right now is to you being able to vote on whether we have a metropolitan government. I said, I trust the voters. I think we should give good information. So I just want to tell you that I support consensus for two big reasons. One, in the city, Vito went through the numbers, but they've even changed since Vito left. The city property tax levy right now is $34 million. The state gives unrestricted aid to the city, not for the schools, but for the city operations, $75 million. $34 million from the property tax levy. The state gives $75 million. Onondaga County taxpayers, through sales tax, give the city $85 million. The city property tax levy is only supporting about 18%. And the county legislature, and Linda and Peggy, you can confirm this, they are dying for the opportunity to take that sales tax money back. They shared the sales tax money after the 2010 census, and when the 2020 census comes out, they are lying in wait because they don't think that they got what we told them they would get. We said these major employers in the city don't pay property tax. We all go to jobs there. They pay for fire and police. We have to kick in, right? So the county has spent a lot of money inside the city, and the roads are crumbling, the sewer pipes are leaking, the water mains are exploding. And so I think the county legislature wants to do something different. And if you live in the city, you should ask, if you don't want consensus, what is your plan? Because the city is not funding its own operation. And the opposite is true on the county. I think the county taxpayers should be demanding to know what the plan is, because we didn't make things better with this. Questions? Thank you.
Last year's OCL study, how CMY moves, related to transportation issues, and we praised your leadership in terms of land use planning in that document. And I'm wondering if you could comment about whether the county legislature is going to rise to the prospect of enlightenment on sustainability.
No. The county legislature, and I'm talking about them as one body, but there are exceptions within the body, and they're here. The legislature has had my sustainable development plan in front of them for several years, and they will not vote on it. So the towns, you know, they feel like they're being dictated to by the big bad county, and they should be able to build wherever they want to build, not recognizing that we're all in this together. And if we have more infrastructure with the same number of people, it's just going to be more expensive. But rest assured, because it turns out I get to decide where we build roads and put sewer pipes without the sustainable development plan. So we are controlling sprawl. We have not expanded the sewer district. But that is looming too, unless you vote on the policy. So anything you can do to encourage the county legislature to just vote on it, the sustainable development plan, it won't be up to one individual to hold back on sprawl. Because when I'm gone and the next guy gets here, right? Yes. Any other questions? I'm just kidding. Hey, Murph.
Good morning. It was fun shopping with you on Sunday at Price Right.
Yes. What a great new store.
Would you be willing to give a shout out to the rest of us? We want to make certain that the business succeeds. So
yes.
As we do our weekly shopping, can we include Price Right in our venue?
Yes. Price Right on the corner of Bellevue and South Ave. And I said there's a lot of power in the neighborhood, a lot of economic power, but it's gone elsewhere because there haven't been places to spend the money in the neighborhood. And I'm really encouraging people to support the business there on the corner of South and Bellevue, because other businesses will pop up if businesses are successful there. So I'm in.
Just like to mention that about 20 years ago, there was a meeting on combining all of the economic development in the city and the county, and there were not two at that time. There was closer to 10. Three members of Thursday Morning Roundtable were appointed to that, all voted for the combination. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, there was a city mayor at that time who thought it best not to do so and didn't do it.
I'm not familiar with that. Are you Vito? Oh, Vito was running the economic. I blame Vito.
Thanks.
I'm just teasing.
But I do have a social issue.
Okay.
And very quickly, our youth in the city jail.
Yep.
We really do have to stop this putting people in the box.
I absolutely agree.
It must be stopped.
It has stopped.
It
has stopped. And it stopped for two reasons. One, a court decision just came down. But separate from that, And, you know, I have said this publicly, and no one's put me in jail yet, but Onondaga County is currently in violation of the law because we now take the kids and bring them to Hillbrook where we can. So we were waiting for Raise the Age. The kids used to be at Jamesville Penitentiary, and I agreed to move them out of the Jamesville Penitentiary in 2015, and they went to the jail downtown. I do not control the jail downtown, and the solitary confinement was continuing there. I know the sheriff has been trying to get the issue. He's been really working with us, and we couldn't do without him, and we couldn't do it without the judges, Judge Tormey and some of the other judges. We sat together and said, we want the 16-year-olds out of that facility, but when they're convicted and the judge remands them to the custody of the sheriff, I'm taking them back, and I'm bringing them to Hillbrook. So we're not supposed to be doing this, and Ann and I were just hoping to keep our heads down until Raise the Age went through, but now Raise the Age is up in the air. But in Onondaga County, there is no solitary confinement for 16 and 17-year-olds anywhere, and we're moving the kids to Hillbrook where the services are better.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to ask what county government is thinking about the possibility of drastic and impending cuts to things like social services, child care at the federal level, and is there anything that that you can do to plan for those eventualities, because so many of those services fall under the county?
Right. In many ways, we're an administrative arm of the state and federal government when it comes to social services. We don't put the programs in place, but we administer them. We have been through something less drastic, but still in the same direction. And we decided on the local level, and I think you participated with us in the Child Care Council. So when the cuts were made, when the economy tanked and the cuts were made to some of the social services program, we made up for the state money going away with local dollars to keep things like daycare in place, because we know when people lose daycare, then they lose their ability to work, and then they're just back in the other door for a different program that didn't get cut. So we have some flexibility. We can keep those programs going on the local level, but it's going to be more and more difficult. And the best thing that can happen is that some measured approach happens. John Katko, he stood firm and said that he would not support those drastic cuts. So right now, we're keeping our eye on it, and we'll make the decisions based on where the cuts come to.
Good morning. I'm Suzanne from the school district. I'm the CFO. I want to make a couple comments. First of all, thank you for today. It was fantastic to hear your leadership. A couple of issues that the county executive mentioned benefit the school district. SIDA versus OSIDA is definitely a benefit to the Syracuse City School District, because the school district does not receive payments from pilots. We only receive them from OSIDA pilots. So recently with the core development, we are a part of that. So when the city does a pilot, there is not a share with the school district on the payment part of the pilot. So I just wanted to clarify.
I didn't realize that.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. So you get money from county pilots and not city pilots?
If they go through OSIDA, we receive money. If they go through SIDA, we do not.
And that is interesting, because it is 180 degrees away from the argument that we shouldn't go to OSIDA because we were starving the city schools. But I learn something new every day. And you are the reason we do the purchasing for the city schools.
I have to say, whether you agree with consensus or not, it's a big thorny issue for a lot of people. But you have to think common sense. If you run a business, what makes sense? If you have a small business, you're not going to have three payroll clerks. If you could go to ADP and pay one little fee, and all of your payroll checks will process without all that additional overhead. The same is true in government. We went to consolidated purchasing for the school district, and you talk about scary. Teachers don't want anybody else to pick out their pencils, right? But now we're not only doing more with less, we're doing better with less. We're getting better quality goods and services at a lower price, and it's coming faster. It doesn't get any better than that. So
thank you.
Whether you believe what the county exec says or not, we're living proof that it's working. With consensus, I would say it makes sense. If you don't agree, big picture, think about all the little things that are happening. We're going to continue to move ahead and work together. We wouldn't have Say Yes in Syracuse without the county executive. because the county has been the partner that has brought Say Yes with us and has helped with the endowment from the state, allocating those funds to finish funding the scholarship. So if you believe in education, you believe, whether it's in the city of Syracuse or the great schools we have in the suburbs, working together with the county has really been the link for us to be successful in moving forward. So thank you.
Thank you so much. That really was very nice of you.
Okay, if there's no more questions, please join me in thanking the county executive.
Thank you for having me. Anytime.